This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Looking to start a side hustle or become your own boss? Do it with Shopify. Whether you're selling succulents or stilettos, Shopify has the industry-leading tools to help you create, control, and grow your own business. So get serious about selling and get Shopify today. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.co.uk/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.co.uk/special offer.
Welcome to Tech News Briefing. It's Friday, May 10th. I'm Alex Osola for The Wall Street Journal. Coming up on today's show, a new generation of gadgets is designed to put artificial intelligence front and center. And I'm not talking about smartphones. WSJ senior personal tech columnist Joanna Stern tried out the latest devices and tells us which ones are worth the hype. And then, crypto exchange Binance has been under scrutiny from regulators. But when an internal investigation found a top client was manipulating markets, Binance kept the client and fired its lead investigator. WSJ reporter Angus Barrick tells us about the investigation and what it means for the company's future. But first, what do AI gadgets look like beyond the smartphone? Some companies are betting on a new crop of separate devices that contain an AI assistant, kind of like in the movie Her. WSJ's senior personal tech columnist Joanna Stern tried out three devices to get a sense of how we might interact with AI in the future. There was the Humane AI pin, which attaches to your clothes like a brooch and also has a laser projector for a touchscreen. There's the Rabbit R1, a square gadget that has a touchscreen and scroll wheel. And she also tried Meta's Ray-Ban smart glasses. For all three, the primary way to interact with them is to use your voice. Joanna is here now to talk about what she learned from her testing. Joanna, what do you actually use these gadgets for?
The idea is that this is an assistant and you can use it for various things. I will be honest, that doesn't work very well. And I put it through a series of challenges, just some of the basic general knowledge stuff. One of my favorite instances was I kept asking the rabbit, when was the last solar eclipse? And according to the rabbit, the last solar eclipse was in 2017. Obviously not true. So these devices have these assistants that have all the same flaws as these generative AI assistants. They hallucinate. They don't know knowledge about certain things. So one of the things that I did think was really appealing about these each is that they all do live translation. And that's something that generative AI models are actually quite good at because they know the intricacies of different languages. So I did test these by bringing them to a Mandarin tutor in New York City. Specifically, the Rabbit and the Humane do live translation out loud. So I could say, hello, my name is Joanna. And then it should say in Mandarin, hello, my name is Joanna. And so did this back and forth or tried to. The rabbit completely didn't work in this testing scenario. I mean, it did work. It just would do the translation 5 minutes later, which the company says they have since fixed in a software update. But when I was there about a week ago, this thing would just not translate for 5 minutes, which is not ideal for a live translation. In fact, we did the sentence, I have to go to the bathroom. And I would say, I have to go to the bathroom in English. And then 5 minutes later in Mandarin, it would say that sentence.
What did it say?
It says, where's the bathroom?
Where's the bathroom?
So it's delayed.
Imagine if you had to wait 5 minutes to not only go to the bathroom, but to ask where the bathroom is.
And so that was the deal with the rabbit. The Humane actually did quite well once I figured out the sequence of taps I had to do on the touchpad. I was able to go back and forth with my tutor, Michelle, and say a couple of things in English, and then she'd say them in Mandarin, and we were able to completely converse.
Where is the bathroom?
Oh, 厕所在二楼,你从这边坐电梯走。
Oh, the toilet. The toilet is on the second floor. Take the elevator from the side, then go straight and turn left.
Then we went down the street to a Chinese restaurant, and it got stuck in Spanish translation. And it just kept saying, in Spanish, are there peanuts in the soup dumplings? But about 10 minutes later, I had futzed with it enough, I had reset it, and it worked. So this is all to say, these are really early devices that are just not ready for prime time, but they do create some pretty funny situations.
Tell us about the Meta Ray-Ban smart glasses.
Meta has made an amazing product with the Ray-Bans, and not because of AI. It's nice that it has AI, right? That's a bonus here. What's nice about the Meta Ray-Bans is that You actually have a camera on your eyes and you don't need to look at the world through a screen. And so I love these for going on vacation with my kids, going skiing, where I want to take photos, I want to take some video, but I don't want to be holding up a phone. And so that's use case one, which is great, justifies the cost at $299. But then you get this new AI feature, which will get better in the future. And the other main point about the Meta glasses is that they connect to your smartphone. The Humane Pin and the Rabbit don't connect to your smartphone. They have independent Wi-Fi, independent cellular in it. When we think about the future of AI and gadgets, it has to connect to the most important device in our life, and that is the smartphone.
That was our senior personal tech columnist, Joanna Stern. Coming up, why did the world's largest digital currency exchange fire an internal investigator charged with helping the company clean up its act? That's after the break.
Hi, it's Leia.
And I'm on Diesel's sustainability journey. I'm going for an all-out immersion into the world of Diesel denim, and you get to come with me. Come on. We're going to a laundry, a farm, a factory. I'm going to talk to customers. I'm going to do everything to really get under the skin of the brand. Discover more on Diesel.com.
Binance, the world's largest digital currency exchange, has been under scrutiny from regulators for allegedly failing to prevent manipulative trading. To stay on the right side of regulators, Binance created a market surveillance team of internal investigators to clean up the digital currency exchange. But when investigators found a top client was manipulating markets, Binance kept the client and fired its lead investigator. The Wall Street Journal interviewed former and current Binance employees and reviewed key documents and emails. WSJ reporter Angus Barrick joins me now with more on the investigation. Angus, Binance has been under scrutiny for the past few years. Tell me why and by whom.
So Binance has been under investigation by numerous agencies in the US, and there was a Justice Department investigation focused on Binance's anti-money laundering and sanctions compliance, which resulted in a $4.3 billion fine last November, and the sentencing of founder Changpeng Zhao last week. You know, in addition to that, there's also been cases that were led by the Securities and Exchange Commission, which was more focused on Binance's, you know, their risk controls to prevent kind of market manipulation, in addition to another case by the CFTC.
So Binance, knowing that it was under scrutiny, started hiring investigators from the traditional finance world. What was this team of investigators hired to do?
They were hired to carry out kind of surveillance on the kind of the immense amount of trades that are moving through the Binance platform. In traditional finance, like on the New York Stock Exchange, there are entire kind of frameworks of rules that kind of regulate what sort of trading is permitted. On Binance, for a long time, there was a very kind of freewheeling culture, and customers could largely kind of trade in a way that they pleased. So there was a lot of manipulative practices, for instance, wash trading, which is where a trader will be on both sides of the transaction. So they're just trading against themselves, which is a practice that's used to give the illusion of an active market so that other traders will be kind of lured into participating. And, you know, also to try to target pump and dump schemes where somebody will boost the price of a token and then sell it at the top, causing a collapse. So they were kind of brought on to try to bring some order to this kind of Wild West trading world.
It sounds like these investigators found a fair amount of questionable behavior. What was actually wrong with that behavior?
So Binance's like terms of use prohibit manipulative trading practices. The SEC, you know, part of their kind of their case against Binance is that there was an absence of risk controls to prevent manipulative trading. And there have been many legal cases in the US in which people have been prosecuted for wash trading or other kind of manipulative practices. Through kind of 2023, this team of investigators were recommending that Binance offboard quite large clients. These were so-called VIPs who were trading in very large volumes and generating quite significant fees for the exchange. And they were targeting progressively larger VIPs. There was another kind of company called the Tron Foundation, which is actually run by a friend of CZ, the Binance founder, and the team found that the Tron Foundation had been wash trading and they offboarded them.
Some Binance customers were booted off the platform, but not all, right?
Yeah, as the team was targeting larger and larger customers, they eventually started looking at a customer called DWF Labs, which is trading and kind of investment firm registered in Singapore, and it's run by a Russian crypto trader called Andrei Gradchev, who used to work at a different crypto exchange called Huobi in Russia. And the surveillance team had been tipped off about DWF's trading activities by another client, and they began an investigation in which they surveilled DWF's trading on the platform. And the conclusions that they reached in a report in September of last year was that DWF had manipulated the price of at least six different cryptocurrencies, and that through that year, they'd made over kind of $300 million in wash trades.
So it seems like that's a big catch for the surveillance team. What did Binance do about it?
Yeah, so afterwards, the surveillance team went through their standard protocol. You know, they submitted their report in which they recommended DWF Labs offboarding, and they kind of sought input from Binance's VIP department, which handles these high-rolling clients. However, this department, the VIP team, they then questioned the findings of the report and kind of escalated their complaint to Binance company leadership. A follow-up investigation was then launched by a separate division of Binance called the Internal Audit Team. And this investigation was then looking at how the surveillance team had carried out its investigation, and they were kind of reevaluating that same evidence. They also kind of looked into the relationship between the head of the surveillance team and this other customer that had tipped off Binance. Ultimately, what this led to was that there was a Binance executives rejected the surveillance team's request to offboard DWF and fired the team's top investigator.
We should note, DWF and Gradchev didn't respond to requests for comment. After the journal's investigation was published, DWF said on X that, quote, allegations reported in the press are unfounded and distort the facts, and that DWF operates with, quote, the highest standards of integrity, transparency, and ethics. What has Binance said about this?
Binance, they reject any assertion that they've ever enabled market manipulation on their platform. They say that they don't favor any one trader over any other, and that they're prioritizing the improvement of their compliance functions. At the same time, they also say that any decision to offboard a client requires a high bar of evidence. And we were told by one current executive that this follow-up investigation found that they believed that the surveillance team's findings weren't fully substantiated.
Zooming out a little bit, what does this incident tell us about Binance's future as it continues to face regulatory scrutiny?
The SEC case is continuing and probably at the moment the largest legal risk that Binance continues to face, given the DOJ action was resolved. Binance's kind of new management since CZ's resignation, they want to move into a kind of a new era and present the exchange as having turned a page. Obviously, kind of any reporting that suggests that Binance didn't keep to past promises could raise questions about its commitments.
That was our reporter, Angus Barrick. And that's it for Tech News Briefing. Today's show was produced by Julie Chang. I'm your host, Alex Osola. Jessica Fenton and Michael Laval wrote our theme music. Our supervising producer is Catherine Millsop. Our development producer is Aisha Al-Muslim. Scott Soloway and Chris Inslee are the deputy editors. And Falana Patterson is the Wall Street Journal's head of news audio. We'll be back this afternoon with TNB Tech Minute. And our host, Zoe Thomas, will be back on Monday. Thanks for listening.